the one who is and the one who is to come, even Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Amen. Etiquette. Every event has associated with it proper etiquette. And we all generally know what that proper etiquette is, and it's usually very easy to spot someone who doesn't. If you're invited to someone's house, there's a proper etiquette for how you accept the invitation and what you do while you are in their home. And there's a proper etiquette if you invite someone into your home. If you go to a wedding, there's proper etiquette. And there's proper etiquette for funerals. And those in our text seem to have a relatively good grasp of the proper etiquette for a funeral, with one exception: Jesus. Now, most of us probably know what the proper etiquette for a funeral is today. We know what we say and don't say. We know that if we were to breach that etiquette, we would in some way ruin the funeral by causing a scene or offending someone. And things were not all that different in the city of Nain in our text. People knew what the proper etiquette was. They knew that when someone had died, the crowds would gather around the bereaved. They would mourn. They would carry the body out for burial. And no one, except those assigned to carry the body out for burial, would come close to touching the body. For to do so would not only ruin the funeral, but it would make them unclean and would cause all sorts of other problems in the crowd that had gathered. But Jesus' funeral etiquette is a bit different. As Jesus comes upon the funeral that day at Nain, he witnesses the circumstances and he's filled with a deep, gut-wrenching compassion for the widow, the one who has lost her only son. And he acts. He breaks all of the rules of the etiquette for the funeral. He stops it. He interrupts its flow. The procession is not going to proceed any farther. Jesus, as it were, stops this funeral dead in its tracks. And he's starting to ruin the funeral. But his funeral etiquette is different. Jesus begins to demonstrate his compassion for the widow as he speaks to her and says, "Do not go on weeping." Do not go on weeping. Has Jesus totally missed what is taking place? Here is a widow whose son has now died, her only son, her only means of connection to the community. Not only is she mourning the death of her son, but she's also, in a sense, mourning her detachment from the community, mourning her now inability to provide for herself. Do not go on weeping. Jesus' words at first seem like a tremendous breach of the funeral etiquette, and he seems to be well on his way to ruining this funeral. But then Jesus has a different funeral etiquette, and he takes another step. He walks up to the bier itself and places his hand upon it. He enters the unclean regions of death and interacts with it by touching death, creating tremendous unrest among the crowd. But Jesus' funeral etiquette is different. And then he speaks. Not to any of the living. No, Jesus speaks to the one person in the setting of our text who no one else in the setting would expect to hear a word that Jesus has to say. Jesus speaks to the dead man, and he commands him to arise. And with a word, the funeral is ruined. There is no more death there that day. The funeral is ruined because Jesus commands life, and death retreats. Because Jesus doesn't allow death to reign. Jesus does not allow death to reign at the funerals that he attends. Here in Nain, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, and last but not least, his own. He commands life, and death retreats. Because Jesus is doing exactly what he came to do. It's not all that long after this event that the disciples of John the Baptist will inquire of Jesus if he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who has been promised, or if they should expect another. And among the lengthy list of things that Jesus points out that are being accomplished, he notes that the dead are raised to life. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah coming to do what he has been sent to do. And he's doing it here in Nain. Now, indeed, the widow's son, no doubt in time, died again. But Jesus reigning over death and bringing in life is not done in our text. For that widow's son will again be raised. Because after our text, Jesus touches the uncleanliness of death yet again. He takes the filth of sin and death upon himself, and this time the funeral procession isn't stopped. His bloodied, broken, lifeless body is removed from the cross, and it's carried to a rock-hewn tomb, and the procession goes right on as he is laid to rest. And there on that dark Friday, it would certainly appear as another widow's son is dead and gone. But not so. For just as the widow's son at Nain was raised to life and she saw her son living again, so also would the widow Mary see her son alive. For Christ who died has been raised to life. Jesus ruined his own funeral 3 days after it happened. He commanded life, and death retreated. And unlike the widow's son, he did not and will not die again. For Jesus' resurrection ruins not only his own funeral, but the funerals of all the faithful. And so Jesus changes our funeral etiquette. Like the widow's son, unless our Lord happens to return first, each and every one of us gathered here will die. We are filled with the same kind of sin that he was, and that sin in time will kill us. For the wages of sin is death, and our life on this earth will come to an end. But even when that physical death transpires, our life is as certain as it was for the widow's son that day, as Jesus raised him from the dead, and even more so. Because our funerals are already over. We've already died. We've already been drowned in the word-drenched waters of holy baptism, and in the font, we died and were buried with Christ. Our funeral was on full display, and Christ descended into the depths of that filthy, watery grave and commanded life, and death retreated. And out of that watery grave, Christ has raised you to life in him. And so, though physical death will most likely come for all of us, it will seem on that day as though death had only retreated for a time and returned to strike as a more opportune time presented itself, as our loved ones stand around a gaping hole in the ground into which our earthly remains are being lowered. But it will not be so. For you see, Christ has already raised us from eternal death. That earthly grave is of no consequence to he who has raised us from hell itself. And he will raise us out of that earthly grave. And when Christ comes again, our funerals, no matter how far in the past, will be ruined forever. Because Jesus' funeral etiquette is different. He does not left. Death reign at funerals he attends. Rather, he commands life and death retreats. And so our funeral etiquette is different. Hopeless mourning flees away. The empty platitudes and the cliche comments go away. Rather, in the face of death, we rejoice in the life that Christ has given. And we confess with those at Nain that a great prophet has been raised among us, that God has visited his people, and that Christ has been raised from the dead. Every event does have proper etiquette, and that includes funerals. Proper etiquette for a Christian funeral looks a lot like Jesus' funeral etiquette, because he is there. He is there having stopped death in its tracks. He's there having claimed the one who has died as his own. Indeed, the proper funeral etiquette for Christians is that Christ commands life and death retreats. And it has retreated. For Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. And he has forgiven us of all of our sins. Therefore, to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.